If you would, turn in your Bibles tonight to Luke chapter number 12. Luke chapter number 12, and we want to read verses 4 through 7. With an emphasis on verse number 5. There are two fear nots here. When you get there, say amen. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we are grateful and thankful that we can come again tonight. Thank you for the health that you have given us, the ability that you have given us to come. The facilities we have that will enable us to distance ourselves. We're grateful that we can meet and that we can worship you together. I'm thankful for the streaming that people are able to see, but that's not church. And I'm grateful that we can meet together. We can raise our voices in song together, and we can worship you together as your people. So thank you for that. Help us not to take that for granted. God, as we look into your word tonight, I pray that you would give us a special work of grace, that we may preach this with the power of God, and that the Spirit would open our ears and our hearts and our eyes to these truths, and we may see you as one who is worthy of our trust, and that we would fear you more than we would fear anything else. So, do those things in our heart, and we would be grateful if we could bring glory to your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Verse 4, Luke chapter number 12. Jesus says, "And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 farthings? And not one of them is forgotten before God. But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore. Ye are of more value than many sparrows." That's God's word, and all God's people said, amen. I am trying to encourage you on these Sunday evenings by tracing through Scripture these texts that have that little 2 words, fear not, in them. And there are others, but I'm looking specifically for those fear nots that God spoke to his people. So there are places in the Bible where God's people were in fear, and fear was filling their hearts. And we have recorded for us in Scripture where God comes to them and comforts them with a fear not, and then gives the reason why they should fear not. That's the important thing. Not that I stand here and tell you you ought not fear, but that I tell you you ought not fear and then tell you why you should not fear. So God came to Abraham and reminded Abraham that God was his shield and his exceeding great reward. God came to Hagar in the wilderness as she prepared for her and her son's death and provided for them the water they needed and promised them that he would be with them. God came to Isaac, who was experiencing a famine, and God told him not to go to Egypt. Instead, stay put in the land of famine. Stay here, don't fear, and trust God to take care of him. God came to the people of Israel and to Joshua and told them to fear not as they entered into the promised land, because God would go with them and fight for them. And then last week we looked at that little phrase, fear not, but fear. Don't fear earthly things, fear God. And so this text sort of lines up with that one. So tonight, I want us to look at Jesus as he tells his disciples to fear not. Verses 1 and 3 of this chapter, Jesus is essentially telling his disciples not to be like the Pharisees. He's teaching his disciples that the attitude and the actions of the Pharisees is not something that they want to emulate. Matter of fact, the Pharisees were hypocrites. They were entrenched in their hypocrisy. So, verse 1 through 3, Jesus tells his disciples, do not be like those Pharisees. Knowing that that is going to bring repercussions on them, verse 4 through 7, Jesus addresses the subject of the fear of God as opposed to the fear of man. So Jesus is warning his disciples. Jesus is preparing his disciples about impending persecution that they were going to experience from these Jewish leaders. Now, remember, Jesus is God and knows everything. Jesus knows what's going to happen to his disciples. He knows exactly what's going to happen to his disciples. They are going to be persecuted. Most of them are going to be martyred. And Jesus tells them to fear not. What we fear tells a lot about ourselves. It tells a lot about how I'm going to experience comfort and difficulty in this life. So Jesus, having just said, don't give in to the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Don't allow hypocrisy to characterize your heart, and don't let their religion corrupt you, now says to his disciples, do not fear those who can kill you. So there is the loss of life at stake here. Do not fear those who can kill you. And what Jesus, I think, is saying is that those who are going to try to kill you, those are not the people that you ought to be worrying about. Don't fear those who can kill the body. So they are being exhorted not to fear the persecution of the Jews and instead stay faithful to Christ. Don't fear what is going to happen to you. Stay faithful to Christ. So Jesus is giving them a word of exhortation that they would not be crippled by fear. They would not be paralyzed by fear of what others may do to them because they have professed faith in Christ, because they have trusted in Christ, because they have become followers of Christ, because they have been baptized in His name and are walking in His way. They are not to fear them. So let's break up this text under two headings. Just two tonight. Two. Say amen. Two. Not three. Two. Say amen. Number one. Let's look at the perspective about fear. Christ puts fear in perspective here. And I'm glad He does. Because I'm afraid fear, when it engulfs our heart, loses its perspective. So Christ puts fear in perspective by informing us that we need not to fear certain things, and we ought to fear other things. So sort of the same parallel that we had last week, don't fear, yet fear. Jesus says, don't fear those who can kill you, but do fear the one that can kill you and then cast you into hell. The problem that we have is we reverse that perspective. And we fear what's not important, and we don't fear what's important. In other words, we fear those or that which can kill us, while we don't fear the one that can kill us and put our souls in hell. We don't fear God, but yet we fear that which can take our lives. So the command of what not to fear is Luke 12:4, do not be afraid of them that can kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. So, let me say this at the outset. This does not mean that we are to ignore threats, we are to ignore safety practices, we are to live recklessly and carelessly. That's not what it's saying. It doesn't mean that we just throw caution to the wind and do anything we want to do. I think we should do everything that we can to maintain a healthy environment. And we do. Phil and Gail come every Sunday early. They come at 5 o'clock every Sunday night, and they sanitize the entire auditorium, the hallway, and the bathrooms. And I am thankful and grateful that they do that. And you should be too. But we and Kelsey on Wednesday, she waits till school is over, and then she cleans the auditorium and things like that. So we are doing everything we can to make sure that when you come to church, it is as healthy as we can make it. But what Jesus is saying here is this. Physical death is not the worst thing that could happen to you. And we think it is. If all a person can do, or if all a virus can do, is take your physical life, you need not fear that. Compared to the one that can do more than that. Say amen. Don't fear the lesser thing. Fear the greater thing. Say amen. Don't fear the less strong thing. Fear the strong thing. That's what he's saying. The worst they can do, the worst people can do, is kill you. What is the worst thing that the virus can do? The very worst thing it can do is what? Kill you. But Jesus says, there is someone to fear who can do far more to you than that. So there's the command of who not to fear. The command of who to fear, verse 5, fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Now, it's a little troublesome, isn't it, that Jesus attributes the death to God, which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. God has power over life and death, not people and not viruses. God does. So what does it mean to fear God? Because that's who he's speaking of, right? Fear him. Fear God, which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. So what does it mean to fear God? It literally means to revere him, to desire him, to long for him, to hold him in awe, to adore him, to treasure him, to delight in him, to acknowledge him, to be high and exalted and above everything else. That is the fear of God. It is to elevate him and to lift him up and to acknowledge that he is God and above all things. That's what it means to fear God. And Jesus is saying, as long as there's anything in this world or anyone in this world that you fear more than God, you're going to be a slave to your fears. Now, let me ask you a question. What's more important, your soul or your body? What's more important, your soul or your body? Your soul. What you can lose or what you can gain in this life is not the most important concern that you have. Say amen. Or maybe it is. And if that is, then you have some problems. What I gain in this life or what I lose in this life, even if it is my life, that's not my biggest concern. Say amen. It's not your biggest concern. It's what you lose or gain in the next life that is your biggest concern. So the text gives us this perspective of time. Temporal things are temporal and they are not that important. Eternal things are eternal and are more important than time. Or eternal life is more important than earthly temporal life. Someone put a small dot on a piece of paper and held it up and said, "Do you know what that dot represents?" The paper represents eternity. That small dot that you can barely see represents your life. Now, which one is more important? The time you will spend in eternity or the time you spend on earth? So he says here, don't fear what or who may take away your life. Don't fear what or whom can kill your body. Fear the one, God, who has the authority to not only kill your body, but also to cast your soul into everlasting torment in hell. Fear God. Because Jesus says God's in charge of everything and everyone, including your soul. So I think it's very simple. If you believe that God is sovereign over all things, if you believe that God is almighty, if you believe that He is in control of everything, if you love Him, if you trust Him, if you value Him, if you adore Him, if you hold Him above everything else, then what can anyone do to you? What can anything do to you? What can anyone or anything take from you? Let me help you. If we are going to sit around and fear dying, you understand we're all going to die of something. Say amen. If Jesus doesn't come back, we're all going to die of something. If we're going to sit around and worry about the day that we're going to die, we're going to worry the rest of the days we have on this earth. Say amen. Because every day may be the day that I die. If you place value on this earth, if you place value on this life, if you place value on your physical body, then you're going to devote all your time, all your talent, all your treasure toward maintaining this body to the neglect of maintaining your soul. And your soul is where true value lies. And Jesus says God has absolute authority over it. Why would we be more fearful? Why would we be more fearful of that which can only affect our temporal existence more than the one who controls our eternal existence? Instead of fearing what can take away your life, Jesus says you need to fear the one who can cast you into hell. Say amen. Number two, and there are only two. We see the perspective about fear. Secondly, we see the protections from fear. You watch the news, you listen to numbers that people are reporting, and it's easy for us to sometimes fear that God just doesn't care for us, or God won't take care of us, or God won't protect us, that God won't be faithful to His Word. That's why fear about these things is paralyzing. It leaves us in a stinking world without hope. Understand something. We are God's children. We are not without hope. Look what he says. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 farthings? And not one single one of them is forgotten before God. You have birds who are being sold very inexpensively. The idea here is that these sparrows are almost worth nothing. They have very little value. And I would think, to the Creator of the universe, with all that God has to take care of, they have no value. Yet, Jesus says, there's not one single bird that is of insignificant value that are ever neglected by God. Do you get that? Sparrows sold for almost nothing because they're worth almost nothing. And Jesus says, the God who runs the universe does not neglect one single one of them. Do you know how many birds died today in the United States? Anybody know? God does. God does. They aren't insignificant to God. And so here's the deal. If God cares for sparrows, which are cheap and insignificant in price, how much more will He care for us, His children? The foolishness is for us to believe the lie of Satan that God doesn't care for us. And Jesus says, understand this, you are more valuable than a bunch of sparrows. And if God cares for them, and if God takes care of them, and if God's concerned for them, won't He also be that much more concerned for us? Did God send His Son to redeem sparrows? Did Christ suffer and bleed and die to save sparrows? Is there going to be one day a resurrection of all sparrows? No. But God did send His Son to die for you. Christ did come and bleed and die for you. Christ did raise from the dead for you. Isn't the cost that God paid for you much more than 2 farthings? You with me? If God cares about sparrows, understand this, I don't even care about sparrows. If God cares about sparrows that you can buy 5 for 2 pennies, you can buy 5 of them for 2 pennies. If God cares for them, how much more will He care about the crown of His creation? How much will He care about men and women, especially men and women who have by grace been brought into a saving relationship with Him through the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross? God has a special relationship, care, and concern for those who trust His Son. And believers can absolutely, positively trust God's provision in every area of our lives. Say amen. If God cares about sparrows, do you think He doesn't care about you? The very hairs on your head are all numbered. And by the way, God knows what color they really are too. Why would Jesus say that? The very hairs on your head are numbered. Does Jesus know how many hairs you lost today? I think He does. Why say that? Well, it runs parallel with the sparrows. The most insignificant fact about you is how many hairs you have on your head. Say amen. So if God is concerned, if God's concerned about how many hairs you have on your head, are you going to tell me God's not concerned about corona? If God is concerned about the number of hairs on your head, are you telling me He doesn't care about your health? He doesn't care about your employment? If God counts the number of hairs on your head, is there any detail of your life that's too small for Him to manage? Somebody help me. If he is concerned about the number of hairs on our heads, do we doubt that he's also concerned with the bigger things that we have to face? What Jesus is saying is that every problem you face, every need that you have, every aspect of your life, every situation that you have to go through is a concern to God. Do not believe the Father of lies. So the command of God is this: therefore, the therefore supports the command to fear not. The therefore refers to what he just said. If you truly believe that God cares for us more than he cares for five sparrows sold for 2 pennies, and that if he numbers the hairs on your head, he's concerned about bigger things as well. If you truly believe that, then listen. Fear not. Fear not. Obey him. Fear not, because it is a command. Fear not. The fear not them that can take the body, that's a command. Fear him that can kill and throw into hell, that's a command. Fear not here is a command. These are commands. Do not fear. Why? Because you're God's children. And he takes care of his children. He says in verse 7, ye are more value than many sparrows. That ought to be put on a Hallmark card. Get that for your wife. You are of more value than many sparrows. Say amen. You know what I think he says? You're of much more value than all the sparrows. God's thinking is that his people are more important than anything, including the comfort or the existence of animals. We are valuable in God's sight as his children. Now, I don't know how valuable I am to God. But I know this, I'm more valuable than many sparrows. And I know this, not one single sparrow is ever neglected by God. And if I'm more valuable than many sparrows, I do not believe that God will neglect. So if you go back to verse 4, we see that Jesus is speaking these words to his friends or to his disciples. And as I said, every single one of them, except for one, John, will be martyred. Are you listening? Do not fear those who can kill the body. And after that, can do nothing else. You fear me. You fear God, who can kill your body and then cast your soul into hell. In other words, you be faithful to me. I'll take care of the rest. And if you think taking care of you is keeping you alive, you're wrong. Paul will be beheaded. Peter will be crucified by Nero. Andrew is believed to also be crucified. Thomas was believed to be pierced through by the swords of 4 soldiers. Philip was cruelly put to death by being impaled by iron hooks in his ankles and hung upside down till he's dead. It is thought that Matthew was impaled to the earth by spears and then beheaded. Nathanael was flayed to death by a whip where he was literally torn into shreds. James was stoned to death. Matthias was burned to death. And you say, if that's God taking care of you, I want no part of that. But every single one of them, Paul, Peter, Andrew, Thomas, Philip, Matthew, Nathanael, Matthias, John, who died of old age after exile, every single one of them, guess what they did? They died. And when they died, they lifted up their eyes in the presence of their Savior and Lord. Every single one of them. You see, Nero, the soldiers, the haters, all they could do was kill them. They could not touch their souls. So why does Jesus say these words? I think for two reasons. To remind us of the character of a follower of Christ. What is the character of the follower of Christ? To fear not men, but fear God. That is the character of a believer. We don't fear men. We don't fear things that can take our life. We fear God. And then to comfort us. His followers are those who fear God. And His followers, because they fear God, are able to experience comfort in this life, no matter what this life brings. Say amen. It ain't about this life. It's about the life to come. Say amen. Fear God. That's the one we need to fear. Amen. Not men, not viruses. Fear God. Because He is in control of your life and your soul. Say amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. It is good. And we're grateful that we can open it and read it and expound it. And God, we ask You to help us to receive it. Help us to hear Your words, the words of Christ. The command, do not fear those who can kill the body and do nothing else. Instead, the command is fear the one who can kill your body and cast your soul into hell. So help us as Your people in 2020 in a very fearful situation. Obey. Knowing that You love us. Knowing that You care for us. Knowing that You have great concern for us, Your children. And whether You enable us to live through these days or die during these days, help us to be faithful to You. And help us to love You. And help us to fear You. Knowing that our souls are in Your hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.